an attitude of prayer. Earth Mother, Star Mother, you who are called by a thousand names, may all remember we are cells in your body and dance together. You are the grain and the loaf that sustains us each day. And as you are patient with our struggles to learn, so shall we be patient with ourselves and each other. We are radiant light and sacred darkness, the balance. You are the embrace that heartens and the freedom beyond fear. Within you we are born, we grow, live, and die. You bring us around the circle to rebirth. Within us you dance forever. Amen. This is Vicky's homily, a reflection on the credos written and read by the youth. I wanted to offer some reflections on some of what we have heard from Tom, Robbie, Edward, James, and Kelly. There are familiar refrains in what they have chosen to talk about. Edward has sought to find some kind of rational, comfortable balance between scientific or empirical knowledge and an unexplainable revelation. May many in our congregation struggle to do the same. James sees in life an opportunity to grow, perceiving enough of a natural orderliness in the world to trust the cultural framework we have inherited. And this is where we all live, isn't it? With hope. Kelly gives voice to what many of us have experienced as a loss of faith in institutionalized religion. She questions any teaching that can lead to oppressive rather than liberating attitudes and ways. Tom reveals a liberal approach to religion. He has tried on various interpretations of the human experience and decided that for him, Buddhism makes the most sense. He exhibits the unselfconscious assimilation of centuries of liberalism in this, the Emersonian ideal of the individual person's capacity and God-given right to trust his own perceptions of the world as a reliable standard upon which to judge convents of truth. And Robbie speaks of values which many of us can relate easily to, the importance of the people in our lives, family and friends, the truth that fun or enjoyment rests somewhere between the center of life's mysterious purpose. He shows no small insight when he identifies life as all that we can really know we have. Each day, each sunny day, we remember to get out to simply enjoy ourselves. This is an affirmation that is both deeply existential and spiritual. All these statements express one of the unique spiritual gifts of our religious tradition. That is religion without the fear. No fear of institutional or eternal punishment for asking questions or having doubts. The downside of such freedom, we all know, is the possibility of confusion. Here is a little story about a fish swimming along. He is burdened with a big question on his mind, but then he comes across a big fish. "Excuse me," said the little fish. "You are older than I, so can you tell me where the ocean is?" "The ocean," said the other fish, "is the thing you are in now." "Oh, this? But this is the water. What I'm seeking is the ocean," said the little fish. Disappointed, he swam away to search elsewhere. This parable gives some indication of how confusing it can be to ask ourselves religious questions. And it has been difficult for these young people to tackle this credo writing assignment. But I hope they are not going to swim away disappointed, because they may or may not recognize the significance of some very important positive things they have said to us this morning about the way the world seems to work. And so I want to briefly highlight them. Edward has said that he believes that there is some power that flows in and among all things. This power explains the miraculous and can contain human feeling. Kelly also spoke about a force that flows through everything, which everyone can feel and no one can describe. It connects everything. Holding this belief, she says, brings order to her life and eases confusion, helps the world seem a bit less crazy. Tom talked about some Buddhist beliefs which he has found useful. He is in the minority in this group, choosing to name the nameless God. He ventures beyond the certainties of this life and takes comfort in the idea of reincarnation, the idea that we all have as much time as we need to get it right, to learn the lessons we need about love and kindness. Tom says this way of understanding life, with a final goal of reaching enlightenment, helps him live his life with regard to others. How to live with regard to others. We all need to learn these lessons on living with regard to others. This is universal teaching. As Robbie said, you have to dig deep into yourself to come up with this stuff. And these articulations show a great sensitivity to the paradox or contradiction inherent in religious ideas. They are beyond human words and understanding. Words may be used to speak of such things, but they cannot contain or completely describe the ultimate truth. But we know we can experience the coherence of ultimate reality, and most of us do. James has said in earlier versions of his credo anyway, that he talks to his dog Riley, and that he has found comfort in real relationship with the dog. And such is the experience of babes in the arms of their new parents. It is the feeling of an unconditional love, a wordless embrace, a word-transcending feeling of acceptance. Such experiences are the foundation of love of God or life, the stuff of faith. Robbie talked about the importance of his close connections to his friends, how his relationships with others enhances the experience of fun. It is something about sharing that makes it real. It reminds me of Mother Teresa's words about love, that love can have no meaning if it remains by itself. It has got to be something which connects us to others, something which is expressed in action, which connects us to others, or else it is meaningless. Words fail to signify the depth and power of such experiences of love and relatedness. But the fortunate truth is, we are experiencing creatures, and we don't need words and ideas to draw the vital spiritual sustenance available to us through relationships with others. It is there in the eyes, in the face. Let us always take time to look into one another's and see their communion. But these young people have gone on a word chase, and they have worked hard to find the words that express their views at this time. It is hard to call out from the wilderness between the vast expanses of childhood and adulthood where they are now. Hard to know what you think and believe and to find the courage to share it with others. It is to say out loud. I want to commend Kelly and Tom and Robbie and James and Edward. It has been a great learning challenge for all of us. Carrie and I want to thank you for sticking with it, and we want to thank the mentors and all the parents for supporting us all the way. Mark Morrison Reed, one of the ministers at Toronto's First Unitarian Church and one of the first preachers of this movement to inspire me, has said that the task of religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all, that there is a connectedness discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and in the lives of others. This morning, you have all been called to witness to such particularities in the lives of a handful of families in this community. May the sharing of the milestones of our personal lives build the strength of the bonds of our communal life. Morrison Reed asserts that the religious community is essential because, together, our vision is widened and our strength is renewed. He was speaking about the potentiality of the religious community to act for justice in the world, and that there is a very important calling on the church. But what he says is also true for meeting the challenges of changes and transitions in our life in all their personal and particular dimensions.
Parents everywhere have heard this plea: Mom, Dad, I need some money.